Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, Journey to the Jordan. It's based on the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 3. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
It's a joy and delight to welcome you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, on this, the feast of the baptism of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Behold my servant upon whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for this his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Romans, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Praise
the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
The congregation, we sing hymn number 405, To Jordan's River Came Our Lord.
Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There is a profound difference between the way that the things are seen through sinful human eyes and the way that they look through the eyes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The people in this world tend to look at outward appearances as they make their judgments and as they form their values. All of us are impressed by people who occupy positions of prestige and power, pomp and ceremony, wealth and material possessions also catch our eye. But how different things and people look when you and I see them through heavenly eyes, from the high vantage point of God. God seeks out the simple, the humble, both things and people, to accomplish His divine purpose. This was set before our eyes once again during this past Christmas season. The way of the world is to celebrate in a noisy, glitzy, and glamorous manner. To begin with, let us look at Jesus' journey to the Jordan River. First of all, we must set the scene. The area itself is not much to look at. It is not impressive to human eyes. It's desert. It's bleak. It's barren. It's desolate. And it's forbidding. But it is significant to note that Jesus traveled from Galilee in the north to the Jordan to be specifically baptized there. The Jordan, of course, is associated with a long history in theology. It was the eastern boundary of the Promised Land and the scene of many miracles. The Jordan River reminds us that God chooses very specific places, persons, things, and times through which He works. The fact that they appear no better or no different than others, or even worse from a human standpoint, causes many people to be offended. Consider Naaman the leper's response when he was told to bathe 7 times in the Jordan River. In the second book of Kings, chapter 5, we read, "But Naaman was angry, and he went away saying, 'Behold, I thought that he,'" meaning Elisha the prophet, "'would surely come out to me and would stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." The words of Naaman illustrate the sinful human contempt for this muddy river. Yet Jesus himself went out to be baptized in this very river. To ordinary human eyes, Jesus didn't look very impressive either. Isaiah the prophet had said as much in chapter 53, verse 2. "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. His place of birth, Bethlehem, was equally unimpressive. His hometown was an ordinary, humble place. Could anything good come out of Nazareth?" That's what Bartholomew wanted to know. He came from an ordinary, humble family. "Is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter?" Seen with human eyes at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, there was nothing in him to impress the people. But John the Baptizer saw him with different eyes. When Jesus asked to be baptized, John tried to deter him. Why? Because John was looking, first of all, at himself with a humble heart. He said, "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you."
John saw more than met the eye. He saw the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sin of the world. John saw the one for whom he had come to prepare the way. He knew the one standing before him, asking to be baptized, was the one to come after him, the one who surpassed him. John did what Jesus requested. However, one question looms large there. Why did Jesus come to be baptized? Why did the sinless one want to take part in a baptism for repentance and forgiveness? Jesus gives us the answer. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. This was part of God's plan. John saw it and he did not argue with it. He did exactly what Jesus asked. He obeyed. He used his hands to help God fulfill the plan. And what magnificent results occurred. Heaven was opened. God gave John eyes to see things that eyes did not usually see, and ears to hear things that ears usually do not hear. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. From that humble beginning, Jesus began the task of his ministry to seek and to save the lost. He was baptized as if he was a sinner in order to begin his public ministry as the sin bearer, the one who takes away the sin of the world, as the Apostle Paul says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The words spoken by the Father highlight the significance of Christ's baptism. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. These words quote from two key scripture passages. In Psalm 2, verse 7, Yahweh the Lord says to the Messiah or the Anointed One, "You are my Son." This is one of the royal Psalms, which focus on Jesus, the Son of David, as the King ruling on Mount Zion. Christ's baptism anointed him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet the Father also quotes from Isaiah 42, verse 1. Though the relationship between the Hebrew and the Greek words is complex and doesn't always quite match up, chosen one is roughly equivalent to whom I love and in whom I delight is reflected in with him I am well pleased. Christ, therefore, was baptized into this role expressed so vividly in the words of Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. Now let us consider our journey to our own Jordan. Remember our trip to the baptismal font. Picture it. The parents and the sponsors are standing there, and the pastor is reading from the Lutheran agenda. To human eyes, this seems to be such a simple, unimpressive thing. People for hundreds of years have wrestled with the meaning and the purpose of baptism. What good can possibly be accomplished by such a simple, humble act? For answers, I suggest that you consult your copy of Luther's Small Catechism. What are the blessings of baptism? It works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. But Luther's explanation also provokes a number of human questions. Well, who says so? How can this be? The answer? The divine Son of God says so. God, who said, "This is my beloved Son," gives baptism its power. He does not ask us to understand it. He does not ask us to evaluate it scientifically. He does not ask us to dissect it. He simply asks us to do it, and to do it in faith. Naaman finally did it, and look at the result. He was healed of his leprosy, and he was brought to faith in the Lord God of Israel. And so it is for all of us. God puts his name and his claim upon each one of us. He creates saving faith in our hearts. We are baptized into his name. And we are adopted into his heavenly family. By grace, we become sons and daughters of our heavenly Father. God says in Isaiah 43, verse 1, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." All of the blessings which Jesus purchased through his ministry are offered to us in the humble, simple, beginning place called baptism. That promise is not founded on the word of a mere human being. It is founded on the word and promise of the Lord God Almighty. Now let's consider our own daily journey to and from the Jordan River. We go back to our humble beginning. The Christian goes back each and every day to their baptism. We remember with a humble heart and mind who we are and what we are by nature. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, God says, "All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word." You and I, we never outgrow the need to know that we are indeed forgiven. As we daily remember our baptism, we claim its promise and its power. We receive heaven's word, "You are my beloved child." God gives us there our identity. There he proclaims that we are his cherished people and that he has given us deeds of service to perform. In order to make his catechumens at Antioch, Turkey, realize the importance of responding to their baptism, John Chrysostom, the golden mouth early church father who lived in the 4th century AD, explained it to them in very simple language. He said, "We have all signed a treaty with Christ, not with ink, but with the Spirit, not with the pen, but with our word. We have confessed the sovereignty of God and repudiated the tyranny of the devil." And there you have the signature, the agreement, the contract. And then he had each catechumen turn first to the west and say, "I detach myself from you, O Satan, from your pomp, your worship, and your angels." And then he would turn for the east and add, "And I attach myself to you, O Jesus Christ." Such a daily remembrance from each of us could bear much spiritual fruit, as together we remember every day that Jesus Christ has made us his very own. And let's consider our Savior's journey of the Jordan. Jesus went from the Jordan to embark on his ministry. He calls on those who have received the blessings of baptism in his name to go out into the world, to look at things and people through his eyes. How different life looks when we do. We can look at people, situations, as opportunities for ministry in the name of heaven. We can see those openings as we look at life through heavenly eyes. Dear friends in Christ, the means of grace that God gives to us today, not only baptism, but the Lord's Supper and his inspired word, may appear ordinary and even common. But through the eyes of faith, you and I recognize them as God's powerful tools of salvation. Empowered by his grace, I pray that God will give each of us humble hearts, heavenly eyes, and helping hands to minister in his name. And now may the joy and peace of this Epiphany season in your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our recessional hymn.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Yeah.
Go in epiphany, peace, and joy. Amen.